Today's scripture reading comes from the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verses 14 through 15. That is the book Ephesians, chapter 4, verses 14 through 15. I will be reading from the New American Standard Version. And before I read, let us remember the words of Zechariah. Let us be silent, all flesh, before the Lord. As a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness in deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Hope everybody's well. If you know God is good, say amen.
Amen.
And if you know we need more unity in the body of Christ, say amen.
Amen.
And if you know God is definitely using you for His grand purpose, say amen.
Amen.
Definitely. We've been in Ephesians. In Ephesians, we've been going through the letter. I want to kind of do a little recap of what we've been going through. In Ephesians, we have... So we know these Gentile converts, they're in Ephesus, lower part of Asia, they're in Ephesus, and they are just Gentile converts. They were outside of God's graces at one point in time, but now they have, the gospel has come to them, the good news has come to them. One of the things that we have, the first three chapters that we've gone through, we've seen the church, we've seen the theology more so of God, we've seen how we are saved, we've seen that we are His possession, we see the blessings that we have in the heavenly places. We see that we are in His inheritance. We've seen He's opened the eyes of our hearts so that we can understand His greatness. We've seen the church being established here. And we see all these different things. But now chapter 4 is beginning the part where it's more practicality. We're going to see more practical how to walk, the how-to versus more of the way God's nature. But we're going to see the how-to and the practical side and the practical living in Ephesians. If you look at Ephesians chapter 4, it says, "Therefore I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling of which you have been called." One of the things, King James right here, instead of manner, it uses vocation. It says, "Therefore I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a vocation worthy of the calling of which you have been called." And one of the things I want us to really focus on is, what is this calling that he's even speaking of? What is the calling? I think we have to understand and establish what this calling is before we know what we've even been called to. And if you want to go to 1 Peter... It'd be greatly appreciated. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, it says, "But you are a chosen race. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. For you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." So again, we see this. What have we been called to? He says, you've been called to partake in the blessings of Christ Jesus. Partake in the blessings of the gospel. So we have to understand that we have been called for something. It's very specific. So what is that calling? We've been called to proclaim. We've been called to partake of these blessings that God is definitely enriching our lives with. Another thing that he says, he goes, we need to, there's a way we should live in this calling. He uses the word walk, and this word is to live. He says, "Therefore I, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, to implore you to live in a vocation." And this vocation is a nature. He wants you to live in nature that is leading a lifestyle that is moving toward the heavenly places, that divine and heavenly place. So he wants us to live in a way that is the spiritual realm, in the way of Christ Jesus, and taking on those qualities. So he wants us to move in that kind of way, understanding that you have been called to something very, very, very specific. And we have to live in a certain way for this calling. Then it goes on, and this is the practical part that we're jumping into. Verse 2 says, with all humility and gentleness and with patience and tolerance for one another in love. So live in a worthy manner. How do we live in this way? He says, live with humility, with gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance. And this word tolerance is kind of interesting because this is to put up with. Now, it's not to just put up with someone in a negative sense, but this is to put up with someone as far as the church should be creating this community with one another to where we are understanding of one another. We know we understand how to live with one another in a humble way, with all humility. And then it goes on and says, listen, you have to have gentleness in this. And we all know it's hard when we're dealing with people. Amen? When we're dealing with people, it is difficult at times to participate in the blessings of Christ Jesus, but also tolerate one another or put up with one another. And the thing here is, like I said, we've been called to something very specific and very special. So it should be a blessing for us to take those moments to understand how to live and how to put up with our brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. It's not tolerate them with a resentful attitude, but this is tolerating one another in love. If we understand that, we got to tolerate one another in love. There's going to be some things that we have got to get through and work through. Family, friends, individuals, I mean, we have got to do this. Why? And there's a purpose to this all. There's a purpose to getting along in humility and with this gentleness and with this patience and tolerance with one another in love. Verse 3 is the result of that, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We need unity. Amen?
Amen.
We definitely need unity. And when he goes on and says, he says, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, I want us to take a glimpse back in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 kind of gives this a little bit more validity. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And one of the things I always like to ask is I want us to know that we are spiritual beings. We are definitely spiritual beings. Do we understand that? Amen? We understand we are spiritual beings. And one of the things that we have to understand is when we're in Christ Jesus, we're trying to preserve the Spirit. We're trying to preserve the Spirit and bond of peace and being unified together. And as we're being unified and growing with one another, we have to understand as spiritual beings that we are definitely growing in the spirituality. In chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians, verse 1, it says, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual men, but as men of the flesh, as to infants in Christ. I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, for you were not yet able to receive it. Indeed, even now you are not able, for you are still fleshly, for since there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not fleshly, and are you not walking as mere men?" And that's one of the things we have to really reflect on it and engage in our minds and understand the knowledge of Christ is going to bring us out of those carnal and temporal things. Because we are spiritual beings headed to a spiritual place. And if we can't preserve the bond of unity in the Spirit, then how are we ever going to make it to the place that we are going to be in eternity with the Father? So if we can't preserve the unity here, don't think about the next place. Amen?
Amen?
I have to remind myself of that all the time. This week particularly. I have to remind myself of this all the time. Because I get in that fleshly way of thinking and then First Corinthians start speaking to me. Quentin, are you not acting as a fleshly man? Are you not complaining? Are you not going? We are spiritual. You are supposed to be a spiritual and mature man in Christ Jesus. And if we have to keep going back and reviewing all the things of the what we once were, then we can't be where the Father is. Do we understand that? We can't be where the Father is. Then he goes on in verse 4, he says, "For when one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not mere men? What then is Apollos, and what is Paul? What are they? They're just men, servants through whom you believed, even as the Lord gave opportunity to each one. He says, verse 6, I planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth. Verse 7, so then neither the one who plants, neither the one who waters is anything. But it's God who gives the growth. It's God. Verse 8 says, now he who plants and he who waters are one, but each will receive his own reward according to his own labor. Verse 9 says, for we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. According to the grace of which God has given me, like a wise master builder, I lay the foundation, and another builder is building on it. For each man must be careful of how he builds on it. So again, back to Ephesians chapter 4. He says, therefore I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling of which you've been called. Be careful of how you live and be careful of how you walk when you are in Christ Jesus. Because we are building something. And what are we being built up as? In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 22 says, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. So then how are we to be a dwelling of God in the Spirit if we can't understand and be unified with our brothers and sisters in Christ that we look face to face and can look in their eyes? How are we to grow? How are we to make it to this heavenly place with Christ in Christ Jesus when we still struggle and we still act as fleshly and carnal men and women? He says, have we divided Christ? Have we divided him? But we have to understand this knowledge. We have to have this knowledge of Christ Jesus. We are being built up as God in the Spirit. Verse 4 says there is one body. When it gets into the doctrine a little bit, this doctrine, but this is speaks to the practicality of this. He says, there is one body. One Spirit, just also as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith. What does it mean, one faith? Well, there's a bunch of faiths out there. No, there's not a bunch of faiths out there. There's one faith, and it's right here. It's not the Church of Christ faith. It's not the XYZ faith. It is the faith that comes through the Scriptures of God. Amen? Amen. It is God. It is God. He says there's one faith in which you are saved. How are we saved? Through Christ Jesus. That's it. So there's only one way in which we can be saved, one faith. He said there's one baptism, one God and Father of all who is all over all and through all and in all. Well, we say that we believe that, but we understand those things. We get it. There's only one God. We get it. Okay. Well, then let's take a look and let's see Scripture. Go to Acts 19, verse 26. Acts 19, verse 26. This is some of the things that the Gentile converts in Ephesus had to put up with. So we understand that in Ephesus, that lower part of Asia, you have the Gentile converts, you have a lot of paganism, you have different goddesses, you have different gods that they worship and that they worship and look up to. Verse 26 says, Acts 19, verse 26 says, you see and hear that only in Ephesus, not only in Ephesus, but also in all of Asia, this Paul, he's persuaded and turned away considerable numbers of people saying that gods made with hands are no gods at all. Verse 27, not only is there danger that the trade of ours may fall into the dispute, but also the temple of this great goddess Artemis be regarded as worthless. So they're kind of in fear. Our goddess that we worship may be counted as worthless, and that she whom all of Asia and all the world worship will even be dethroned from her magnificence. Verse 28, when they heard this, and they were filled with rage, they began crying out, saying, great is Artemis of the Ephesians. So they struggled with, and they had this battle, in Ephesus. They had this battle where they say, well, and if you go back to Ephesians chapter 4, they had this battle. It says, there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father over all. Well, not everybody believed that. Not everybody believed that. And we see that in Scripture. Not everybody believed that. So can you imagine the different temptations? Can you imagine the different obstacles that they had to face going through these things? They're just converted in Christ. They've just been built up in Christ. They're excited. They have all these emotions. They're joyful. They're excited to be in Christ Jesus. We have something to live for. But what about these people over here? That's kind of, now we're going to live in fear because they worship this god, this Artemis, this Greek goddess, and oh man, it's getting kind of confusing on who we need to choose. So you can see the struggle and the temptation that they may have had to face. Because once you become, once you're in Christ, you're a particular person. You're living for a specific reason and a specific purpose. And when you're living for that specific purpose, not everyone's going to agree. And if you don't agree with the majority, then you might be shut out. You might be shunned in some areas. But are we willing? Are we willing to face that and understand that our God is all that we need? He's everything we need. He's everything. And I want us to reflect on our lives and what we worship and how we worship and the ways that we devote ourselves to God. How are we devoting ourselves to God? Are we in His Word every day? Are we in His Word? Are we speaking to the Father? Are we being a changed people? Are we a changed people? Ephesians chapter 2 says, "You were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit which is now working in the sins of disobedience. Among them too you were formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulged in the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath. But God came through, and God changed that state of mind. He changed that grace of God changed everything we had going. So there is one God, one Father, and we can stand firm on that, and we do not have to waver back and forth on what we should or shouldn't believe, because Christ Jesus has given us everything that we need. Everything. This one faith, he says, we can rely on this faith for salvation that is in Christ Jesus. And I think that's beautiful. And he's given us things, he's equipped us. Verse 7, he says, "But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led captive a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men." Well, what was his purpose of, what was his gift? What were these gifts he gave to men? What are his gifts? And then he asks the question, what were they for? Because if you're going to give them a gift, what is it for? How is it going to be practical? How are we going to use it? He says in verse 9, now this expression, he extended, what does it mean except that he has descended into the lower parts of the earth? Verse 10 says, "He who descended is himself also, he ascended far above the heavens, and so that he might fill all things. He gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers." Why? "For the equipping of the saints for the work of service." Thank you, God, for giving me a purpose. Thank you for giving me everything I need to perform and to perform at optimal levels in Christ Jesus. Thank you. Every one of us should be saying thank you. Because before Christ, let's use scripture. He says, before Christ, again, verse 11 of Ephesians, "Therefore remember that formerly you were Gentiles in the flesh." Well, this is in context, the Gentiles. We weren't God's people. You were called the uncircumcised. Remember that you were at time, you were separate from Christ. You were excluded from the commonwealth of Israel. You were strangers to the covenant of the promises. You were in the world with no hope, without God in the world. But now, again, giving us hope. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have now been brought to the blood. So again, we have this peace now. Only through the gospel of Christ Jesus we have this peace. And what is it for? It's to serve. For the equipping of the saints, for every work of service, to build up the body of Christ. Verse 13 says, "Until we attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to measure the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ." Verse 14 says, "As a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by the waves and carried by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, and by the craftiness and deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ. So again, He wants us to be mature in Christ Jesus in these doctrines. Some say these doctrines don't really matter as long as we're good people. I mean, God's going to be okay. God wants my happiness. God wants me to be happy. God wants me to enjoy life. It's just as long as I'm doing good, I can be with the Father. Amen? Mm-mm. I'm testing some of y'all. No. Again, He's given us His Word. Why? So that we can follow it. God has never, you will never find in the Scripture, God has never, not once, ever left it up to man to find his own way. Never. He has never said, follow your heart. You need to just go this way. What feels, he has never said that. But he has said, there's a way that man thinks is right, and guess where it leads? To destruction. He says, guard your heart. Be obedient to me. Why? So that you're not floating around believing everything that you hear. I don't need to believe in every doctrine and the trickery of man. Why? Why can't I believe that? Why? Because God has made me something. He's called me, and I have to live worthy of that calling. And every teaching that we come around doesn't coincide with that teaching. With Christ Jesus. So this doctrine he's talking about, what is the doctrine, Quentin? You keep talking about this doctrine. What is the doctrine? Well, this doctrine is a teaching. What teaching is he talking about? Go back to chapter 4, verse 4. There's one body. There's one Spirit, just as you also were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father over all. There's only one. Why do we have 16 million of them? There's only one God. He's not that dysfunctional. God has never, we are not saved based on our understanding of Scripture. We are saved by Christ Jesus in His grace that He's bestowed upon us because we've chosen Him through His plan of salvation. He's never left it up. He's never left it up to us. And thanks be to God, He's never left it up to me to find my way, because I wouldn't have found it. None of us would have found it. Amen?
Amen.
None of us. So what is so amazing about this doctrine? The thing that's amazing about this teaching, this doctrine of Christ, is it is the truth. It's the truth. There are going to be, he says, as a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by the waves and carried out by every wind of teaching or doctrine, by the trickery of men, by the craftiness and deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into who? Christ, who is the head, even Christ. Verse 16 says, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by every joint, supplies according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up in itself in love. Woo! That's a lot. So what is he saying? He said, you and I have to build a community in the church, so that you and I can build in, so that we can grow in this bond and preserve the bond of unity in the Spirit. Why? Because of chapter 2, verse 10 says, we are a workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works which God prepared before, so that we would walk in them. Then jump over to chapter 2, verse 22. And whom you also have been built together in a dwelling of God in the Spirit. Chapter 3, verse 10, so that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church, rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places. All these things are the teachings of Christ Jesus. He's given us everything we need. He's given us everything we need. Everything. And we are to walk in them. So I want to bring it right back to the beginning of what we started, chapter 4. It says, therefore I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore, he's begging, I implore you to walk in a vocation, this vocation, walk in a way that leads to the heavenly places, and that lifestyle that you live. He says, man, are worthy of the calling of which you have been called. How? Focus on your humility, focus on your gentleness, focus on your patience, and focus on your putting up with others and tolerance with others in love. And we can always, if you don't know what your purpose is in life, practice those four things, and I promise you, you will stay busy forever. Forever. So again, what's the purpose of all this? It's to verse 3. Being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. That's the point of all this. Seems easy. Well, no, it doesn't seem easy. It's simple. If every one of us will be obedient to what Christ has taught us, we will be pleasing to Him, and we are being built up in a spiritual household of Christ Jesus. That is our purpose. So if we haven't been living according to that calling of which we've been called, now is the time to get things right. Get things right now. Because we don't have forever to get this right. And God isn't always going to be available for salvation. So now is the time. So if you have a need this morning, if you haven't accepted the gospel, if you haven't accepted Christ Jesus, if you haven't been living in a manner that is worthy of the calling of which you've been called to partake in the blessings of Christ Jesus, then we got some things to talk about. But now is that time while the song of encouragement is sung.